welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're talking about something that I'm probably not going to be able to pronounce very well, but it's respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV.
You did a good job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. According to an article posted recently in Scientific American, as flu season picks up and experts weigh concerns about another possible COVID surge, children's hospitals are already filling with patients with another viral threat, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. Even though many people have not heard of RSV, pretty much everyone has had it, probably multiple times. RSV is the leading cause of bronchitis. Wait, it doesn't say bronchitis. Bronchiolitis?
Yeah.
I don't know what that word is. It's the leading cause of bronchiolitis. We'll have to look that up. Inflammation of the lungs, small airways.
That's what it is.
I looked it up very quickly.
Yeah.
In infants. Okay, so maybe in infants it's called bronchiolitis.
Anytime it's inflammation of the small bronchial.
Okay. So, yeah. And the virus is so common that nearly all children have encountered it by their second birthday.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I had never heard of it before, which is surprising. But there has been an unusual increase in children being hospitalized recently due to RSV, and researchers think they know why.
Well, historically, RSV season was so reliable that children's hospitals would plan staffing around it. It typically ran from about November through April, with the biggest peaks being in January and February, depending on the local conditions. But the pandemic changed everything. With many people staying home, social distancing, washing hands, and wearing masks for most of 2000 and into 2021 and 22, RSV, like influenza, never really arrived, and its seasonality has been out of whack ever since.
Yeah, and I think numbers ended up increasing in 2002 because I think people
were... Wait, not 2002.
22?
Oh, 22.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
In 2022, there was... It increased again, and it speculated perhaps that people were a little bit more laxed or that children were going back to school.
Well, I think we're going to talk about
that. All right. All right.
She's trying to do a teaser.
Okay.
Well, Anthony Flores, the chief of pediatric infectious diseases at the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston, said in this Scientific American article that all of a sudden, last summer, that's 2022 summer, we had this huge surge of RSV. At first, it baffled everybody, but then it kind of epidemiologically made sense. That was kind of a weird word, but...
Yeah, you did pretty well, though. I like that.
Normally, most kids, like Jean said, encounter RSV sometime in the first year and a half of life and develop some immunity as they recover. The immunity does not last that long. However, it lingers, it does not last that long, but enough of it lingers so that subsequent infections are not as severe. But thanks to the social distancing and masking, a whole birth cohort of kids had never been exposed to RSV before, possibly this summer. So as society began opening back up in the summer of 2021, all of them were exposed at once, and RSV roared back like it was Christmas in July.
Wow.
We tended to see more severe reactions, so we saw more hospitalizations. And they think that was because a larger pool of kids who had never been exposed to RSV in the past, the summer surge eventually settled down. But fast forward to 2022, and it's a year later, something similar is happening again.
Wow. Outbreaks of RSV typically occur in cold weather and temperate climates. So here in the United States, that would mean more cases of RSV infection in the fall, winter, and the early spring. While for most individuals, an RSV infection is typically mild and runs its course in a couple of weeks, those individuals with existing pulmonary or cardiac conditions or a weakened immune system may be at a greater risk of developing a more serious, potentially deadly infection. According to a report from the National Institutes of Health, 64 million people worldwide are affected by RSV each year.
And we had never heard of it.
Right.
They must call it something else. Maybe we just bunch it into the flu.
Well, that very well could be.
Well, no, we don't usually people die of a cold.
Okay.
It is estimated the 160,000 deaths each year are from an RSV infection. And I noticed that recent research in Zambia, which looked at the actual number of patient deaths rather than the extrapolated estimated number of deaths, mm-hmm. has shown that the number of deaths from RSV may be much higher than previously estimated.
Yeah, when they took the samples from infants that had passed and then actually analyzed those samples and looked for RSV, they found it in significantly more cases. And yeah, that was surprising.
RSV spreads primarily through respiratory droplets from coughing, sneezing, and kissing. But the virus can also survive for several hours on hard surfaces, including tables and crib rails. Such fomites are a more common mode of transmission for RSV than they are for COVID. People infected with RSV are typically contagious for about 3 to 8 days, even if they don't have many symptoms. So, you know, picture kids in a daycare setting or something.
Wow. Right. And
they're all using the same toys. They're sticking the same stuff in their mouth.
And they're going back to school when they're not showing symptoms any longer, but they still could be contagious.
Right. Right. So this is why the numbers are exploding.
Yeah. Infants, young children, and older adults are more likely to develop RSV complications. And according to the American Lung Association, RSV is the leading cause of infant hospitalizations. Infants under 6 months of age are at an increased risk of severe respiratory infections during colder months in temperate climates, as we were saying before. And then I think in cold climates, in in climates that are continually at the same temperature, it's kind of seen throughout the year, but here it goes in waves.
Cycles,
yes.
Okay. And even adults that are exposed to it repeatedly over time develop some immunity to it. Mm-hmm. In healthy adults and children, though RSV typically presents as a common cold with symptoms similar to those caused by other common cold viruses, such as rhinovirus, adenovirus, a couple of common coronaviruses, but that doesn't mean it's harmless. RSV costs the United States more than $1 billion each year in healthcare costs and lost productivity. That's a big hit. So, you know, we got the pandemic, and we've got RSV surging.
But that is also a good, kind of like a PSA, if you're sick, stay home.
Right.
If you can, I know it might be a little bit easier now because companies, you know, we've all experienced it and they might be able to do that, but I don't think it's a possibility for everyone. And,
no.
And can everyone keep their kids home? Might be challenging.
Catch
as 22 well.
With them, right?
Yeah. And I don't even think this includes some studies stipulate that an RSV infection or repeated RSV infections when an infant is young may lead to asthma later in life.
Oh,
well, you know, I think experiencing the whole COVID crisis, I think it opened a lot of people's eyes as to how important it is to wash hands and do all of that. So, you know, you've got the flu, you've got COVID, you've got RSV. I think people are really starting to understand the importance of good, I guess you'd say, hygiene and cleanliness.
Yeah. Isn't that a shame that we didn't have that before?
I'm just saying in general.
I mean, the fact that people did not realize that washing your hands you know, long enough to kill germs was important. People didn't realize that.
Yeah, germ theory. It's only been around for, you know,
Well, it's particularly dangerous for newborn babies and adults older than 65 right. and people with compromised immune systems. Ron,
right.
I'll let you take it from there.
Those caring for infants should watch for respiratory... Let's start that again. Those caring for infants should watch for respiratory infection symptoms and contact their healthcare provider with any questions or concerns that they may have. And as I had mentioned earlier, an RSV infection can be deadly. The parents should talk with their children's healthcare provider about which symptoms indicate that their infant needs emergency care.
For most people, a mild RSV infection may result in what we consider a typical upper respiratory infection or a cold. You might have a stuffy or a runny nose, sore throat, cough, or a fever, which will typically resolve itself in a matter of days.
Well, if the RSV infection spreads to the lower respiratory tract, you may have difficulty breathing or a wheezing, rattling, or a barking cough. Yeah, that.
That scared the heck out of me.
Pneumonia, bronchiolitis, or respiratory failure are potential complications of RSV.
And according to the World Health Organization, those individuals who have had a bone marrow or lung transplant are at a greater risk of severe RSV infections, complications, and potentially death.
Wow. Well, it should come as no surprise that the American Academy of Pediatrics found that social distancing, wearing masks, increased hand washing, and other steps people took to prevent spreading COVID also resulted in a dramatic reduction in the number of RSV infections for 2020.
I tell you, I think I don't want to leave my house anymore.
Well, we still wear masks.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's surprising that so many people don't. But and I guess especially if you're not feeling well, you know, you need to take precautions.
I just came back from a conference I was telling you
about.
Oh,
right, yeah.
You know, when there's a few people around in an open room, that's mm-hmm. one thing. But mm-hmm. then we went into a room where it was all the seats were taken.
Mm-hmm.
I looked around and I'm the only one wearing a mask.
Yeah.
I think people got really excited about it and everybody was...
Who was excited about
no,
wearing
excited,
mask?
Frantic, maybe
oh,
a better
oh,
word.
Oh, okay.
But now I think people's guards are down, you know, that it's quote unquote over. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
There are several possible ways to help prevent the spread of RSV.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, we started to touch on it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Wash your hands often with soap and water. Wear a mask. Have anyone with an upper respiratory infection dispose of any unused tissues rather than leaving them in your pockets or lying around on the table. Just throw them out.
Mm-hmm.
And when possible, practice social distancing. And also, when possible, limit a newborn's exposure to individuals with an upper respiratory infection during their first year.
I know that when my brothers and sisters were young,
mm-hmm.
we used to say, you know, nobody comes to visit the new baby until they're 3 months old.
Okay.
You know.
Well, now they're saying, you know, the 6-month-old baby is really at risk. So you kind of... Yeah, I mean, maybe Facebook or FaceTime it or, you know, Zoom or something
right.
With relatives, especially during, you know, this uptick in RSV.
Right.
But I know it's not possible for everyone. I mean, you have to your child in care. It's challenging, but you can make sure that, you know, hopefully everyone's washing their hands at the care facility. There isn't, like you were saying, the toys aren't being shared amongst all the kids and
clean regularly.
Right, clean regularly, sure.
Take care of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, RSV and other viral respiratory infections may be mitigated by vitamin D. More research is needed to determine if vitamin D supplements can prevent or decrease the severity of RSV infections. But those individuals with low vitamin D levels were found to be more susceptible to respiratory viral infections.
And there are possible RSV prophylactic medications, especially for premature infants. But if that's something you want to learn more about, you should contact your healthcare provider, because it's something that is, it's something that not everyone will have access to, because you have to get, you know, a series of shots, and it's every month for, you know, a series of time, and it's not, it's a preventative. It isn't a treatment, and it's an interesting situation. So, you know, consult your infant's healthcare provider for more information about that. As Ron was saying, you know, with symptoms, too, for infants, you want to really make sure you understand those and have your healthcare provider walk you through them. So it's the same with this case.
Well, we certainly don't want to be all doom and gloom. So
Good
news, mm-hmm. I want to segue into some good news.
Okay.
As the there are RSV vaccines on the way. Mm-hmm. In fact, Pfizer mm-hmm. just announced this week that its maternal RSV vaccine given during pregnancy, so that antibodies are transferred through the placenta to the fetus, was 82% effective at preventing severe RSV in babies through 3 months old.
Okay.
But until the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, mm-hmm. approves a vaccine, RSV will be one of the unavoidable viruses people encounter each year.
Right. And I know in the past they've had challenges with the RSV vaccine and its efficacy and that. So I can understand why the FDA is, you know, making sure that it's doing what it should do without any, hopefully, you know, dangerous side effects. But like you said much earlier, Ron, I mean, 160,000 deaths a year, if we can prevent those, that would be great.
Yeah.
Or asthma later in life. I mean, yeah.
Sure. Well, I think that wraps up this episode.
Okay.
If any of our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com. We're on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, TikTok, and so far we're still on Twitter.
Okay. And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. Oh, as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.